This episode of To The Journey is brought to you by Audible.com, offering more than 180,000 titles for smartphone, tablet and desktop. To get a free audiobook of your choice and help Trek FM at the same time, visit audibletrial.com/trekfm. And also by Enterprise in Space, an international programme of the non-profit National Space Society. Find out how you can help science and education and become a virtual crew member aboard the NSS Enterprise Orbiter by visiting enterpriseinspace.org. And if you want to join in the conversation and share your thoughts on this episode, join the Babel Conference, our listeners group on Facebook. Just type Babel, that's B-A-B-E-L, into the Facebook search field. We look forward to seeing you there.
Hi, I'm Monuente Reme. I played Ichev on Star Trek Voyager, and you're listening to Trek FM.
I think it's safe to say that no one on this crew has been more obsessed with getting home than I have. But when I think about everything we've been through together, maybe it's not the destination that matters. Maybe it's the journey. And if that journey takes a little longer, so we can do something we all believe in, I can't think of any place I'd rather be, or any people I'd rather be with.
To the journey.
You're here.
To the journey.
Hello, everybody at home, and welcome. This is To the Journey. I'm your co-host, Suzanne Williamson, and with me, as always, are
Zachary Fruling and
Kay Shaw.
Well, today we're going to be beaming back down to our desert island and give you our season 3 picks.
Yay!
So who wants to start us off?
Well, I'm really curious what you guys think about season 3, because I'm pretty sure both of you like season 3 a little more than I do. So I have a little confession to make. Yeah. No, I have a total confession to make. Like, I watched the first season of Voyager a little bit, like 20 years ago when I first started watching Voyager. Then I stopped altogether, and then I started watching again around season 4. Like, I started buying the DVDs, like after it was already off there. I don't like anything new. I'm slow to adjust to change. And so I just kind of stopped watching it.
By season 3, it wasn't new. You were already in 2 seasons.
No, what I'm saying is that I didn't actually watch Voyager in its first run. Only a tiny little bit. I watched the end of Voyager when it ended, because I thought that was interesting. And then I kind of rediscovered Voyager when I was in grad school. And I caught a little bit on television, and I started watching around season 4. So I kind of got back into Voyager starting with season 4. So I had to go back and really seriously dig deep to rediscover seasons 1 through 3. So when I think of Voyager, my mind instantly goes to season 4 and beyond. And there's some amazing episodes in the first 3 seasons. Right. But it's not where my mind goes when I think of what I love about Voyager. So for me, this was actually kind of easy, because there's a few favorite episodes from season 3, and the rest I can take or leave.
Oh no, I doesn't that sounds terrible? Season 3, actually.
I know you do. I know you, that's what I'm saying. I know you guys were going to like season 3 more than
I do. I have to say, it's like the Marmite series for me, which may not make sense to people outside the UK.
love it or hate it.
Can it be a Vegemite series too?
It can be a Vegemite series. Yeah, we can go there. Yeah, I think it's got a mixture of probably about half of the episodes that I really like and about half the episodes that I can just leave.
And I guess that's actually what I'm saying. There's a lot that I just really don't care about. Yeah.
I am the same way. I'm the exact same way. There's some really, really awesome ones, and then some I'm like, really? You brought Ferengi into this? I don't think so.
Oh, see, I actually, it's not on my list, but I actually really like that episode. I think it's really interesting.
I knew you would. I knew it.
I didn't realize out of the 3 of us that I was going to be the contrarian, but I'm always like taking the opposite position from you guys. You guys love stuff. I'm like, it's just okay. And if you guys are like, I hate that, I'm like, oh, that's not too bad. It's kind of good,
so
actually.
It's so good.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Yeah.
So there you go. I'm Trek FM's resident contrarian.
But yeah, I think the good episodes in season 3 are really good.
Oh, there's some amazing episodes. Yeah, absolutely. It's just, and as a whole, it's not one of my favorite seasons.
Now, Kay, you said you had some predictions about what Zach and I would pick. And I'm wondering if you'll give us those predictions and I can look at my list and be like, yes or no.
Rather than being boring and just starting with our list, we could listen to your predictions and see how well you really know us.
Okay. I feel like I've been put on the spot now, and you're going to be like, no, you're wrong.
You have
been put on the spot, and that's why you feel that way.
Okay. Well, I predict that Zach is going to pick Distant Origin.
Would you like me to confirm or deny at this point?
I don't know. Do you want to confirm or deny at this point?
Confirm or deny.
I will confirm that it only made my honorable mentions list.
Really?
Really? I am shocked.
Did you think he would have picked it as well?
I did. I really did.
This is not my other show, Metatrex. And if this were Metatrex, I would put that on my list of essential philosophy episodes from season 3. But this is not Metatrex, and there's more to me than philosophy. And so, no, it did not make my list.
I really would have thought you would have picked that.
Nope. That's the thing. What's interesting about doing these desert island picks is these aren't just like episodes I really like. These are the 3 I would take with me to a desert island. And I would probably leave Distant Origin on the cutting room floor if I had to take it to a desert island. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Fair enough. I'm surprised.
Boom. Good. I'm glad really I threw surprised. You for a loop. No, it's a brilliant episode. It's probably, again, it's probably like the most philosophically interesting episode to me in all of season 3 of Voyager, maybe. But that's not all I love about Voyager, so I wouldn't necessarily take it with me.
Fair enough.
Okay.
I'm glad I threw you for a loop right off the bat, by the way.
Yeah. Well, this is why I didn't want to say, because I was like, I'm going to say, and you're going to be like, nah, you're wrong. Because, you know, I like to feel like I've gotten to know you guys a little bit now.
Well, it was like I said, it's on my honorable mentions list. And if this were a conversation about philosophy and Voyager, I would absolutely put it on the list.
You'd be there.
But that's not what we're talking about today.
Suzanne, I predicted that you would pick Future's End.
You are absolutely correct. I did pick Future's End.
Okay, confession time. Future's End is on my list. Number 1 on my list, actually.
Okay, well, we best talk about Future's End first, then.
Yeah, I could not be on the island and not have Future's End.
I just knew you would pick that. I can't even say why I knew you would pick that, but I just knew you would.
Was my number 1 pick, too. Yeah. So, really, I am that
Yay, I win!
See-through. People can predict what I'm going to pick.
I got, like, 1.5 points out of
you. Just seeing Janeway and Chakotay in the 90s on the pier together, that solidified it for me. And we also get the Doctor's mobile emitter out of this episode. You can't wrong. You just can't. And
no, it's great.
Tom calling Tuvok a Freakosaurus. Yes. I love it. I actually called my nephew a Freakosaurus from that moment on. I still do.
I love the look that Rain gives Tom when he says groovy. Yeah.
that whole bit, I mean, there's a lot in this double episode that is reminiscent of Star Trek 4. But that particular bit where he says groovy, that just reminds me of Spock in Star Trek 4 so much, trying to be like, the hell?
Colorful
double
metaphors.
Double dumbass on you.
Colorful metaphors, yeah. Well, double dumbass on you.
He did a little too much LDS.
Yeah, I actually watched Star Trek 4 like last night with my friend. So,
oh, that's the best movie.
I know.
As my mom calls it, the one with the whales.
The one with the whales, TM. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Future's End for me is just a fun adventure. There's time travel, there's you get to see the 1960s all the way into the 1990s. Mm-hmm. It's a good lighthearted fun adventure story, I think. That's what I love about it. And it's also always fun to see Star Trek commenting on the 20th century back then. Now it's in the past, right? It used to be the contemporary time. Now that's so 20 years ago. What we see in that episode of Voyager used to be contemporary. Now for us, it's the past, and it's already a little silly looking. But for back then, it looked more like life actually looked.
Oh, yeah. And we get Henry Starling, who plays into our progenitor movie.
You mean future space Steve Jobs?
Yes.
I'm not sure Steve Jobs is quite that evil or was quite that evil.
I don't know. He went from hippie to tech guru, right? So.
But Henry Starling doesn't wear all black, and Steve Jobs was always, you know, the man in black, kind of like, oh my God, I couldn't think of Johnny Cash's name there for a minute. I need some sleep.
We'll let you off. It's fine, baby.
Henry Starling was a little more like Steve Jobs meets Miami Vice.
Yeah, I mean, I just think Future's End, I just really like how it all pans out. I think on paper, it could have been a bit crazy, like as a story. Like, oh, we're going to the past and we've got this future guy and he's gone in the past and he's this tramp. And it could have all been a bit crazy on paper, but actually it just
really works, and I just like it. And seeing our characters out of their comfort zone, it's having been a really big fan of Star Trek IV in the 80s as a kid, you know. Mm-hmm. The reminiscence just really works
for
me. So
this is a little bit of a tangent, and we don't need to spend too much time on it, but I do want to ask this fairly serious question about this episode while we're talking about it. So given what we're seeing in contemporary times with the alt-right and all of the crazy stuff going on here in the United States, do you think that all of that is the logical conclusion of what we see in the little militia people towards the end of Future's End Part 2?
Oh, where they have Chakotay.
The anti-government.
Yeah. Definitely.
Like we're seeing 20 years worth of logical consequence of that kind of mindset.
Yeah, I definitely see where you're going with that. That makes sense.
And we don't need to spend too much time on that. I just think it was foretelling of where we're at today.
It was. So do one of those militias actually have Chakotay right now? Because if they do, I need to go rescue him.
He'll be good till after the podcast.
No, I think I need to go now.
Am I going to have to find some more interlude music?
No.
Yeah, Future's End is a great pick. It's a great pick. And of course, due to the Delaney rule, you get two for the price of one.
That's the Woo-hoo! Thing about these Desert Island picks. I want an episode I could watch again and again and again on the Desert Island. Not just an episode that's really brilliant. I want one I could rewatch all the time. I could watch Future's End every day and not get bored with it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so since that was on my list and Zach's list, Kay, what do you got?
Well, before I say my first pick, actually, I am just going to say a little general bit about the exercise of doing this with season three, because before I actually started thinking about what episodes I wanted to pick, I thought, gosh, season three, there's so many great episodes. That's going to be really, really hard. I'm going to have a really difficult time picking what I want to put on my list. And so I went down the list of season three episodes and I wrote a short list, and then I looked at it and then I went, actually, no, this isn't hard at all. This is really, really easy. This is actually super easy, because although there are loads of episodes that I really like in season three, actually, there are three episodes on here that I absolutely love. And I couldn't possibly pick anything else other than these three episodes. And I think I knew that before I even started. So why I thought I was going to have a difficult time, I don't know. But there are three episodes from season three that I had no difficulty picking above everything else.
You're saying you didn't have to whittle down your list at all. Like, you knew what those three episodes were. End of the story. Boom.
Yep.
I had the worst time doing it. The worst.
I actually started with six and I got it down to three. So
that's not to say that there weren't episodes that I had a hard time thinking I would have to leave. But I never contemplated picking them over the three that I've picked, because the three that I picked, I could never contemplate leaving. I'm sad about leaving others, but I had to bring the three that I've brought. So I'm confident and happy with what I've put on my list.
I'm hoping that you picked some that I left behind so I can visit your hut occasionally.
Exactly. I want to come visit you guys and be able to watch your episodes. Kay, you were almost right, though. Of the three that were my honorable mentions that we'll talk about here eventually, Distant Origin was the one that I struggled the most to leave behind. Yeah.
To leave. Yeah. I think Distant Origin was very close to being my number four, so I think I'm there with you on that one as well. But now I have to decide which one I want to pick first out of my three, because I think I love them all equally, so I have to decide which one I want to pick first. I think I'm probably going to pick first the one that we'll talk about the least, and the reason we'll talk about the least we will get onto. But I had to pick Coda. I couldn't leave Coda behind.
Thank you. There's
absolutely no way I could ever part with that episode. That is one of my most favorite episodes of Star Trek.
That's why I didn't pick it, because I knew you would.
I had to. Do you know, there was a tiny bit of me that contemplated when I was doing my list, oh, well, maybe I could have some alternates in case other people pick them. And I went, no, these are my three. I don't know why I'm even having this conversation with myself. So Coda is on there.
Yay.
And the reason that we're not going to talk very much about Coda is because we've already done a whole episode on Coda.
We did.
Yeah, enough said. You can go listen to our other episode.
We did.
Yeah. Okay, so we talked about Coda during episode 194, which we covered in detail. Lovely.
We did cover Coda in detail, but just briefly for anybody who doesn't have time to go and listen to our other episode before they listen to the rest of this. I don't think we've made a secret onto the journey about our shipper predilections about Voyager. So
it's a huge secret.
I'm like warm to lukewarm on Coda.
You were converted on Coda at the end of that episode. I
but I
remember.
Default back to lukewarm and lukewarm.
Yeah,
I go right back
Do
to
we
my
have
defaults.
To go through it again.
Yeah, you got to change my mind all over again.
No, yeah. Catherine.
Okay, this is your challenge, Kay. Pretend you hadn't changed my mind before. And you've got to give me the 30-second version of why I should be convinced again about Coda.
Moonlight sail on the holodeck. Champagne.
That would do the trick. Mm-hmm.
Roses. Mouth to mouth.
That's something to live for.
B'Elanna's heartfelt speech at the funeral. Vulcan seance. Fake dad. Portals. Wow,
it's still just not enough for me to make it in my top three, though.
That was a pretty good 30-second
synopsis. That was an amazing 30-second synopsis.
That's the thing. I can't do a synopsis to save my life. I'm always like, there are these people and stuff happens, and then, you know, I can't do that. I have no ability to remember details on the fly like that. You're so good
That's
at it.
That's about as good as the Netflix description, Zach.
Although you did miss out on the talent show.
I did miss the talent show. Sorry, Dying Swan. Catherine Janeway performing the Dying
Yeah, if form. You guys are wise, you would never, ever let me do a synopsis.
And also, I have to say, if anybody isn't aware of the fact that there are not, I don't think, generally speaking, a lot of outtakes available of Star Trek, but there is a little outtake video on YouTube that you can find if you search for Voyager outtakes, and there's a really, really great outtake from the beginning of Coda from that scene in the shuttle with Jay Wedgecote that cracks me up. That
it's
is on
hilarious.
That video. So if anybody wants to look that up, it is really funny.
Is that the ship to the ship to the ship thing?
Yeah. Whatever they do. That's the ship, and I'll ship it out of here. Here it goes. It's beautiful. It is beautiful. So yes, you all need to check that out. So that's probably all we need to say on Coda, because like we said, we've talked about Coda at length, but I cannot leave that behind. Coda is deep in my heart.
Okay, you've convinced me it should be on your list.
I've convinced you it should be on your list. I didn't know I had to convince you of my picks. I think I could just pick what I want.
I'm showing up at your hut when you, when you
we'll,
watch that.
We'll come over and watch it, sure.
Well, I was going to say, the burning question really, Zach, is are you coming over on Coda now?
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
Okay, or is it just for the popcorn?
Well, the popcorn doesn't hurt, so.
Because you know I'm bringing popcorn.
And the beer.
Always. I always bring the beer.
Now you're allowed the beer again.
Yay!
So that is my first pick. My first pick is Coda. So who's going next?
Zach, what's your second pick?
Okay, so my next pick is Worst Case Scenario.
That was on my list too.
I love Worst Case Scenario. It's so fun to see this holographic representation of what would have happened, you know, had the Maquis tried to take over the ship. It's so much fun. I just love it. It's such a fun little story.
It's great. And we get Seska back. Love Seska. Yeah.
With a rock star, it's like Seska on steroids. Like she is so Seska in that episode. She lays it on so thick. Yeah. I love it.
She's like concentrated Seska.
Yes. Seska distilled.
Like distilled down to the purest form. Yeah, I do get what you mean. No, I do really like this episode, actually. I do really like it. But I had a feeling that I wasn't really sure which one of you would pick it, but I had a feeling it was going to end up on the list somewhere.
Yeah, again, the criteria for me is which ones would I be able to rewatch again and again and again, like every day and not get bored. Yeah. I could watch this every day and still find it interesting.
Because it's got little nuances here and there, not only just Seska, but you have alternate Chakotay in his leathers, which I can't ever pass up.
It's odd how that comes up, isn't it?
I love Tuvok and Tom trying to work together and then everybody else having these suggestions. Neelix comes in with his, and it's spot on.
It's so fun watching the different cast members play like the lead role in this little story. Who is it supposed to be, even?
We don't know. We don't know who the traitor is.
Just like a random crew member? Like, who is the main character?
Maybe it's Dalby or Tal Celeste. Maybe it's one of them.
Maybe it's Mulcahy.
Oh, bless him.
Poor Mulcahy.
Aww.
I love when Tuvok confesses to having written this story.
Yes.
Everyone's like, you,
so everybody's like shocked. What?
And what I really love, his objection to finishing the story.
Tuvok budding hollow novelist. Who knew? So you managed to both pick the same one again.
That was my second pick. Yeah.
There we go. See?
Wow. Okay.
Maybe I'm not as much of a contrarian as you guys think I am.
Okay. So I have to decide which of my other two I'm going to pick next.
I bet you can't pick my third one. I'll bet you can't. I bet you if you guessed five episodes, you wouldn't guess my third
one. If we have the same third one, I'm going to just be shocked. Because we are not
okay,
that much alike.
I'm serious. I want to challenge you, Kay, Miss I Have Predictions.
Oh, I don't have any more. Those were my predictions.
I bet you if you picked five episodes that you think are my pick number three, that you would be wrong on every one of them.
You seriously better not have my same third
And not
pick.
Just picking at random, like actual honest guesses.
Just so you know, if you've picked the Ferengi episode, we're not coming over.
No, we're blowing up your hut. Your hut is blown to smithereens.
I will give you a freebie that it is not the Ferengi episode.
What's it called? False Prophet.
It is not False Prophet. Yes. Prophets.
Good, because if you've picked that, we're not.
Although
coming
I do think that's
that.
A fun episode, it is not on my list.
Well, that is the last one I would have chosen, so. I don't know, what am I going to pick out of my other two? I don't know whether I should make you guys pick what you think I've picked, since I've done it to you.
Oh, gosh.
That's not how this game works.
We didn't say we had predictions.
Well, I'm making you have predictions now, because it's fun.
Okay, I will make a prediction. I'm probably going to be wrong, but maybe not. I say macrocosm.
I was going to guess macrocosm for K, yeah.
Yes, macrocosm was on my list.
Yes!
I was going to pick that for you, totally.
Yes, it's Janeway's arms, isn't it?
It's Janeway's everything.
I know everyone loves Macrocosm for Janeway's arms, absolutely. And I guess that's the thing. It's a fun kind of episode. It's not a lot of talking. It's just a Janeway versus the aliens episode. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
Did I tell you my Macrocosm story? I have a Macrocosm anecdote.
Oh, yes. You tell us this.
Have I described it on To the Journey, though?
I don't think you have.
I think you've told us.
Okay,
but...
so I have an anecdote about Macrocosm. So... this is just a little anecdote, but it was very amusing when it happened. A couple years ago, we decided to list our house for sale, kind of as a teaser, just to see, feel the market and see if anyone was going to give us an offer for our house. The day we listed it, there was a knock on my door, and I go to the door, and I answer it, and some dude is there, and he wants to buy my house. Like, he's ready to pay cash for the house. And it turns out he is a chiropractor in my hometown here. And we're just chit-chatting about the house. And I told him I wasn't really serious about selling it. We were just kind of feeling the market out, and he totally understood. But I said, I got all my setup in here. I was kind of describing the inside of the house. I said, over here on this side of the house is my little home office and podcast studio. He says, oh, what's your podcast about? I said, well, it's about Star Trek and philosophy. I was describing Metatrex, my other show. And he says, oh, I was in an episode of Star Trek. I said, you've got to be kidding me. What episode of Star Trek were you in? He says, I was in Macrocosm. I said, wait right here. I'm getting my camera and we're going to take a picture first of all. And then I want to hear the story. Turns out he was the alien miner at the beginning of Macrocosm. And he's a chiropractor just down the road in my hometown. And he wanted to buy my house.
That is awesome.
So basically what you're saying is you met patient zero.
Yes. And I survived to live to tell the tale.
At least it wasn't the tech.
You met patient zero. Yeah, that's
again,
true.
That's not a classic anecdote, but it's really, it was very amusing at the time. I was like, wow, some dude who's in Star Trek is at my house. How weird.
Yeah. No, it is very cool. It is very cool. And I like the fact that whenever we mention Macrocosm, it comes up because it's just such a funny little thing to have happened.
He said he had a nice little chit chat with Tim Russ while they were getting their makeup on. Like, Tim Russ had to show up for his makeup, but he'd already been sitting in the makeup chair for a couple hours getting his alien minor makeup put on, so...
Yeah.
That's so cool. Yeah. Speaking of Tim Russ, he was on The Good Doctor this week. I don't know if anybody watches that, but I was like, Tuvok! And yeah, they kind of let him die, and that made me very sad.
Aww. That's like how excited I got when Robert Picardo showed up in Lucifer when I was watching Lucifer.
I was like, how can you let Tuvok die? That's wrong!
Some of you know this. I'm watching Stargate SG-1 for the first time right now, like all 10 seasons of it. I'm on season 8, and recently Bob Picardo showed up in that too, and I was like, ooh.
Yeah, he is.
Yep.
Oh, wow.
I didn't know that.
It's lovely, isn't it, when your Star Trek actors just randomly show up in stuff. I really love that. It's just nice. Yeah, so Macrocosm again. I don't think we've talked about Macrocosm very much over the course of talking about things onto the journey, but... I feel like it's an episode that kind of speaks for itself because it's so iconic, I think, in terms of Voyager imagery. There's a lot of that picture of Janeway stripped down to her vest top with the with the phaser rifle, oh, kind
I
of
love that.
Rocking it around the ship.
It's an immediately recognizable image of Captain Janeway. Yes,
if
absolutely.
I could get a phaser rifle, I would so cosplay that in a heartbeat.
Yeah, I would love to cosplay that actually as well. But she just kicks ass and takes names in this episode. Like, I mean,
oh yeah,
she's amazing. She is so amazing. It's hard not to love Janeway, I think, in this episode, because she just takes control of everything. Like, she takes absolute responsibility. Neelix kind of gets stung and is useless. The Doctor's pretty useless.
Yeah, pretty much, because they keep attacking his emitter, yeah. So he can't, you know, help out.
Okay, I just want to make double sure, like triple sure, for your own benefit. Is Captain Janeway versus the Big Bugs enough to make this part of your top three, like sacrificing all other episodes of Voyager on this forever till the end of time on this desert island? Yeah. Not even just a desert island. It's like you're lost on a desert island, and then you're also lost on a desert island on a planet in the Delta Quadrant. Like, it's really sacrificing all other episodes. This would make your list.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just making sure.
Well, good. So I can come over and watch it.
Yeah. Great. Now we're in. Okay. We can come over and watch it. Cool.
I mean, I don't know how, like, obviously you want me to show my cards here, but, you know, she stripped down to her vest top and she's all sweaty.
She looks hot. Like, absolutely hot in this episode.
She is very hot. She sweats a lot.
That's not what I mean.
This episode is amazing. I love it. She's amazing. Like, seriously. Who else would you want around in a crisis?
This is her Ellen Ripley moment.
She basically saves the entire ship single-handed.
Well, Patrick Stewart had to kind of beg to be able to, you know, shoot something once in a while on the Next Generation, in the Next Generation movies. And here,
Patrick Stewart beat up Tuvok in an episode.
That's true, in all fairness. But that's what I'm saying. He had to, like, convince them, like, Captain needs to do more shooting, right? That was a quote from Patrick Stewart.
Yeah.
Here, Kate Mulgrew, as Captain Janeway, gets to do that pretty early on in Voyager. So
she kicks ass and takes names. And she does it in heels as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's just interesting they went that direction with her so early, and, you know, they didn't want to do that with Captain Picard so early in The Next Generation.
Well, it's just different, isn't it? It's a different vibe. They're out there in the Delta Quadrant. If this had happened in the Alpha Quadrant, she'd have called for help from other ships.
She would have called Captain Picard for help.
She'd be like, Jean-Luc, well, yeah, or whoever. Can you help me?
But because there's nobody else there, she's got to deal with it. She has to deal with it. And of course, you know, she tries to send out a subspace signal for help, and the Tac-Tac come along trying to explodinate them because they're a quarantine issue.
Did you say explodinate?
Explodinate, yeah. Yes, that's a word.
Huh.
Explodinate is a word.
Is that an actual word?
No.
It's a K word.
It's a K word. It's one of those.
It's not just a me word. I've heard other people say it.
It's one of those British words, you know?
Okay. No. You need to watch more Buffy the Vampire Slayer for all this type of lingo. But explodinate sounds like a Buffy word.
It does. So this is Captain Janeway the Vampire Slayer. That's what you're saying.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She's not far off, is she? Captain Janeway.
Not far at all.
Macro Bug Slayer. That bit where she's on the floor and she's like punching it, and then she chops
with the,
its little
with
arm
the puppet thing, yeah.
Its little arm thingy off, and then just stabs it. I always get surprised that she doesn't say anything after she stabs it. She kind of looks at it contemptuously on the floor, and then I'm waiting for her to say something like, "Go back to hell, coward."
Like grunt as you're stabbing.
But there you go. So I love this episode, and yes, I would quite happily watch it over and over again. It will keep me very, very happy in the dark nights, snuggled up in my
And
hut.
We will be very, very happy coming over to your hut to watch it.
Yes, and still I'm bringing popcorn and beer.
Go, Jamie!
And who would have known, you know, putting your hands on your hips would offend an entire race of people?
That was particularly amusing, I thought. I also think it's really interesting, this episode, because like you say, Zach, you know, you don't get a lot of... Certainly in the first half, it's basically just Neelix and Janeway.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we get a lot of Neelix and Janeway for like the first 10, 15 minutes until Neelix kind of conks out. And then we get a lot of Janeway running around and till we start getting the flashback bits about halfway through.
Yeah, and then that thing coming out of Chakotay's neck, which is...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that is gross.
That's so nasty.
But we do get the nice little moment right before that because she goes into the mess hall and she's like... She's like, Harry, Harry, and trying to wake Harry up. And then she's like, Chakotay! And she's just so, like, no, no. Can you hear Picard saying that if it was Riker?
Number one!
No. Number one! No! Will! Wake up! No.
Yeah,
not happening.
No.
What's fun for me is how little dialogue you can actually get away with in this episode. It's basically, you know, Captain Janeway with her biceps and her guns. You don't need the dialogue. You know everything you need to know without any dialogue.
She's got the gun. What more do you need?
Exactly.
My absolute favorite bit is when she goes up onto the gantry thing in engineering and she's in the locker. And she's just, it's just her going in the locker, taking off the jacket and the
turtleneck.
Thank you, turtleneck. And then getting the backpack on, clipping on, lock and load. Everything in the, oh. That's
on
amazing.
That note, I didn't realize how much Velcro was in those uniforms to just be able to rip it off so quick.
I half expected for Captain Janeway to turn a corner and have one of the big bugs, one of the giant viruses, say to her, Sarah Connor.
Yes. Yeah. Sorry, I love that part in The Terminator. I love it. Where he goes up to the door, Sarah Connor. Yes. Sarah Connor. Every time it cracks me up, and I don't know why, because it's... You're not supposed to laugh at that point, but it just makes me laugh.
But it makes
I
laugh.
Mean, that's kind of badass Sarah Connor you got in Terminator 2.
No. I see her more as Ellen Ripley than Sarah Connor in this.
Mm-hmm. She is
totally
Alien.
Ripley. But since you've never seen Alien, you would not make that correlation.
Right. We're going to add this to the long list of times you guys want to talk about movies I haven't seen. So.
Yep.
Alien came out how long ago? Alien. Still haven't seen it.
Yeah.
Tut.
Well, one of these days, we're going to do a macrocosm Alien comparison, and I will watch Alien for that.
We have a plan to do that. We do have a plan to do that, but we have to get Zach to watch Alien before we can do it.
You know what the key is? You got to put it on the calendar. You just put it on the calendar, send me a memo, and I'll watch it.
I need to rewatch Alien, actually, because it's been a little while.
I just watched it. I watched the director's cut, like, last week. With Logan. I was like, Logan, you gotta watch this. And he's like, I'm 6 weeks old. Not really good.
Did he actually say that?
No.
Intelligent baby.
Okay, if it's not on my calendar, it doesn't exist yet.
Yeah.
I imagine he's saying these things to me. That's all. Yeah, he's not gonna remember all these amazing movies that I've made him watch in the first 7 weeks of his life.
But that's fine, because then you get to show him for the first time again.
And I'll be like, you know, I showed this to you, but you just don't remember.
What do you think they do with all these dead macroviruses, actually? Speaking of macrocosm. Fry them up like roadkill or something? Roadkill cafe?
It's Neelix's special.
Put it in the soup?
Ew!
Don't have the special. Just add some Leola root. It's all good.
Welcome to Cooking with Julia and Neelix. On this...
I did it again.
This week we're frying up some macrovirus.
I can't breathe.
No, I think of it a little bit like if you ever traveled on Route 66, you know, there's a little place called the Roadkill Cafe.
Yes.
That's what I think they would do with the macroviruses.
Wow.
It would be Roadkill Cafe.
Macrovirus tastes just like chicken.
Wouldn't you like that to be the actual ending of the episode, like cleaning up the macroviruses? And what the hell do we do with these things?
Yeah, it's funny actually that you say that, because when I was watching it this time and I was looking at her walking around the bridge, when, you know, when they've got the little like camera view of the little mini virus that like stings her on the bridge.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
When they have the camera view of that going around and there's all the like goo and everything on the rails and the consoles and stuff, I actually did weirdly think this time, oh my god, there's so much cleaning up they're going to have to do. And I've never thought that before. So it's weird that you brought that up. Because I've probably watched this episode like 25 times.
Voyager's not a Galaxy Class ship. It doesn't clean itself.
No. It's whoever's like on disciplinary, I guess, where normally they'd be scrubbing the plasma conduits. Today they're scrubbing everything else.
Cleaning up goo.
Wouldn't that have been a great next episode? Cleaning up the gooey ship.
I don't think it would have been that interesting.
No,
it could have been.
It could have been really boring.
It'd have been funny if there'd been a little reference to it, yeah. That would have been nice.
Like Harry's standing at his station, he's like, oh, I still have some goo over here.
I could totally picture like this like long chain of crewmen in the hallways. They're all scrubbing the halls and they're like singing some sort of a working song. That's the sound of the men working on the chain.
I was thinking more of
scrubbing.
Oh,
and
we, oh, yo. From Wizard of Oz. Yeah.
It's weird how our brains have worked differently there, because I was kind of like 2, 4, 6, 0, 1.
Back to Les Mis.
That's where I was anyway. You know where they're like hauling the thing at the beginning?
Yes.
Like in that episode, Disaster from The Next Generation, when Captain Picard's like, we need a climbing song. Like, we need a scrubbing song to scrub all the goo off the walls. Yeah.
Whistle while you work.
I would whistle, but I can't.
You have just reminded me, though, actually, that there is one thing that I do want to bring up about this episode. It's about the gel packs. Now, I don't know whether I've talked about this before, but onto the journey, but I've talked about it in Trek conversations in various places about how doesn't everybody just think that they gave the ship gel packs so that they could do this?
Well, it's a disaster waiting to happen.
They just gave it gel packs so they could infect
it. So they could infect it with various stuff.
Yeah.
Cheese.
When B'Elanna just pokes it, she's like, oh, it's full of goo. Poke. I'm like, come on, B'Elanna. Seriously?
Do you think if the Borg had assimilated Voyager, do you think they would assimilate the gel packs? Like, can you picture like a little Borg, a miniature Borg cube? Like a miniature Borg gel pack?
Sprouting little things.
That just makes me think of the adipose from Doctor Who.
Oh, adipose.
That's what they'd be like, little chunky pack things with eyes.
That'd and be awesome.
Little legs.
So while Voyager has macrocosms of giant viruses, it has microcosms of Borg cubes. Microcubes.
Little mini Borg cubes. That's a weird thought. That's a weird thought.
Just a thought. Just a anyway. Random thought.
Yeah. No, it's an interesting one. It is an interesting one. I never really thought about the Borg and the gel packs, actually. That is a one to ponder.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, no one's, you don't hear much talk about it. If for all the fuss they made about the Voyager being a souped up ship with an old gel packs, how come we never talk about the Borg trying to assimilate the bloody things?
Yeah.
Maybe they already had them.
Let us know your thoughts on that, listeners.
There you go. That's a challenge.
Okay, so on to pick 3. Zach, what is your last pick? For the desert island.
You guys aren't going to try to guess?
No, because I'll be wrong, as you've already told
okay.
me.
Okay, I'm gonna tell you guys, and you guys can tell me, does this make total sense, or is this a total surprise? Fair trade.
That is a surprise.
Oh, that's the one with Neelix and his weird friend, isn't it?
And his
that
Max
is the one with Neelix and his weird friend, and I love that episode, because I love that Neelix makes mistakes, and he wants to stay on Voyager, and he's scared they're not going to want him anymore, and he does some really stupid stuff, and he gets one hell of a talking to from Captain Janeway, but she tells him he's part of the family.
Now, I think it's really weird that this happened in season 3, that he's having these feelings now. It's like, dude, you've been here for 3 seasons. Yeah.
But isn't it because they've just now got to the point where they're out of the bit of space that he knows?
Yeah.
So now he feels like he's
not useful anymore. Right.
But he's already taken over the galley at that point. So how is he not useful? And he's already the ambassador.
I know, but the whole point of, he made such a song and dance about saying, I will know things before you know you need to know them at the beginning of Voyager, right? And now he doesn't know those
3 years
important
ago.
Things anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I get it to an extent, but I do kind of also get what you're saying, Suzanne, that it you do feel like he'd be feeling more secure than that by now. But,
and as a person who has done things that are stupid and that I'm not proud of, I understand that once you take a certain step, it's easy to take another step, and it's easy to take another step, just like Neelix says in this episode, and you can end up doing things that you're not proud of. And everyone does that sometimes. And this is a great example of that. And I love that they're not willing to put him off the ship. Like, Captain Janeway still likes him. He's still friends, still part of the crew.
And he ends up scrubbing the plasma conduits, which is interesting because we were just talking about that.
Right. That's what I'm saying. It was a good segue. He has to kind of pay the piper, pay the penalty for it, but he's still part of the family at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a really important lesson.
Yeah, and there are some amazing Neelix and Janeway moments in that episode, I have to say.
So it's just such a feel-good moment at the end of the episode when after he receives his punishment and he feels happy that he's part of the crew, even though he has to go scrub the plasma manifolds.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I love the fact how Janeway manages to, like, at the same time reassure him and dress him down.
Well, she totally can't fathom it at the same time. Like, what were you thinking? No, everyone's had a moment, well, what were you thinking moment, right? So...
Yeah, no, I get that. I just love how she manages to tell him off and reassure him in the same conversation. Just that is skills.
That's what I'm saying. It's a brilliant episode, and I love it.
Skills. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just don't see this as being something I can watch over and over and over.
Yeah, I'm there with that. I could watch the end over and over again. I don't like it because I do like it, but Yeah, I could watch the end bit over and over again, but not the rest of it, I don't think.
No, the rest, the friend is kind of annoying.
So Kay's coming over for the last 5 minutes.
Yeah. Let me know what time you're watching it, and I'll come over for the end.
Got it. Just a quickie. Got it.
Yeah. It's fine. I'll be outside whittling. Let me know when to come in. You've managed not to have all three picks the same then. So what's your third pick, Suzanne?
My third pick is going to go to The Q and the Grey, because I have to continue my Q love from last season.
That is one of my honorable mentions. There are just some amazing lines
in that episode.
And that's my third pick as well.
Sweet!
That episode is amazing.
That is awesome.
I think it's just so creative. Like, how do you take something that's by definition incomprehensible, this other realm that's, you know, outside space and time with these omnipotent beings? It's all very abstract. And how do you depict that visually? And they chose a really artistic metaphorical interpretation that is so interesting. Yeah. I love that episode.
It's a great episode.
But it didn't make my list. But I love that episode.
And to find out that Q had a girlfriend and it was Susie Plaxen.
Yes, Susie Plaxen. Love her.
Doesn't get better than Susie.
Yeah, we love Susie. She's amazing.
Yeah, because her line, "What are you doing with that dog?" I'm not talking about the puppy.
Yeah.
Cracks me up every time.
Does she play more characters in Star Trek than any other woman?
It would not surprise me at all. She's...
Because I know, obviously, like, Vaughn Armstrong plays the most, but if we're talking about women, because she plays 4 characters, doesn't she, I think?
Pretty sure, yeah.
I haven't counted. What could we list?
Well, she plays Dr. Salar.
Salar, yeah, that's the Kalar. Obvious one. Mm-hmm. Kalar.
Female Q. And then doesn't she play an Andorian in Enterprise who I can't remember the name of?
Yes.
I think she does, and I can't remember the name either.
Yeah, she's just awesome.
I didn't know there'd be a test afterwards.
Love her.
Yeah, she's amazing. I love her, yeah. And all the characters she plays are so different as well.
Mm-hmm. She has quite a range.
She has a range, definitely. But she's incredible in this episode.
And she's got such a great cadence of speech, too.
She suits being a Q so well.
Oh, yeah.
She does.
She's just got that, like, dismissive, arrogant...
Oh, even when talking with B'Elanna. Just...
Yeah. Pfft. Humans. Pfft.
I like you Klingons. Such spunk.
Yeah. I love this episode so much. I know that some people think it's quite cheesy and they think it's a bit of a departure of Q from, like, the more threatening Q that we see in some parts of Next Gen.
This is the Q I love.
This is the Q that I love.
At some point, they discover that Q is not actually a threatening character. He's a comedic character.
Yeah.
And then he just, you know, John DeLancey just ran with that, of course. Yeah. And they wrote it that way because
Q does... He's a foil for Picard in Next Gen.
Mm-hmm.
But he becomes something more than that in Voyager for me. He becomes something more than a foil. And obviously we see a bit of a journey.
He's very flirtatious in Death Wish with Captain Janeway. He's very flirtatious with her there. This is just the continuation of the flirtation.
Yeah.
Where it's like, oh yeah, I like you. Let's have a baby. And she's like, no, I'm not having a baby with you.
I didn't feel like it came out of the blue at all. I'm laughing just thinking about it. I love this episode. It's great.
It's so much fun.
I want to go out on a limb a little bit here and say that I think Captain Janeway actually likes the attention.
Yes, probably.
Well, that, and it brings about the attention from Chakotay, too. He's like, I don't know how to feel about this, you know, Q wanting to have a baby with you.
Oh, Q's tattoo is bigger, so.
Is this the most outright confession of feelings from Chakotay that we get?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Probably. Mm-hmm.
Because he basically says it.
Yeah. It's like, I don't know how to feel about this. It's like, yeah, we know how you feel.
Yeah. Because when we get all the angry warrior bit in Resolutions, you could take that more as like a friendship thing, not necessarily anything romantic. But this definitely, to me, goes... I know I don't have the right to feel annoyed, but this bothers me.
Mm-hmm.
It's like...
No, it bothers the hell out of me.
Bothers the hell out of me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. And what about when Q says...
Q with the tattoo.
Mine's bigger, and she says, not big enough.
Well, that she learned during
this
Coda.
This episode is brilliant.
I love that at the end of the day, no one decided to cut those lines. Because very easily someone could have said, you can't put that in the episode. Come on.
Oh, yes, you
can. And it totally made it in. So.
Do you know what? I'm actually, generally speaking, somebody who's fairly chilled about people having different opinions about episodes. And I'm fine with people hating episodes I like. But nobody is allowed to hate this episode, and I will fight you.
And I will fight you after Kay fights you.
It's just brilliant. Like, there's nothing not to like. It's just so feel good. And I mean, I know it's cheesy, but it works.
It's so much
fun. Like, the whole... Oh, all the scenes where we get them in the bedroom and, like, the stupid bed that he puts there.
With the satin sheets.
And he's trying to sort of woo her. Like, that could have been cringy and horrible and everything, but somehow the two of them just make it work beautifully. Like, they're just great.
The night is young and the sheets are satin.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's funny because when I in my younger days, I was a bit of a romantic, and I totally could understand what Q was going for here. Like, the night is young and the sheets are set. I might not have said something that quite like that, but I totally understand this, like, over the top saccharine that Q is going for.
Yeah. Oh, it's beautiful. Oh, this episode.
And Janeway's line about beating out a single-celled organism.
And then we get to see all of the boys in their soldier uniforms at the end.
Yes. Yes.
Yes, I
With love
that.
Their little muskets
like
going, yeah.
Yep. I like that. This episode just makes me giggle. It just makes me laugh. Like, I mean, I can't say anything sensible about it other than the fact that it just makes me smile and watching it makes me happy.
No, the Civil War thing is really interesting.
It is
like
interesting.
You have to take, because Q basically describes, like, I'm presenting this to you in a way that your puny human minds will understand. And I love that. It's so metaphorical and interesting. Yeah.
That, and it's a direct consequence of what happened in Death Wish.
More continuity in Voyager.
Yeah, well, I mean, we get continuity through the Q episodes in Voyager.
Yes.
Because then later on, obviously, we get him coming back with the baby that he ends up having with female Q and...
And the baby at the end of this episode is just adorable.
He is so cute. Yes. And Janeway waving.
Waving is just so... Oh, I love it.
And we get Janeway saying... And she actually confesses to Q, yes, one day I do want to have a child, which I thought was really interesting insight, actually, into Janeway. I thought that was quite interesting that we find that out.
Not going to happen, Captain.
Well, I think up until this point, you could be forgiven for thinking that she's... 100% career woman, and she's not interested in kids and all the rest of it. So I find that really interesting. I mean, I know things are different in the 24th century, but I just find it an interesting little bit of color and character information that we
but
find out.
But technically, she's already had children because Threshold has happened.
But I think we get this nuance of Captain Janeway's character in Caretaker, right? When her conversation with Mark, she's in a relationship and she's not just a career woman. She's in a relationship and she's got other parts to her life besides being a captain of a starship. And they quickly kind of veer away from that, but it's nice to see them circle back to it.
Yeah, I mean, but there's a difference between being in a relationship and being sort of like a professional couple who work and wanting to have a family, I think.
And especially in a relationship with Hobbs. I mean, come on.
I love that this episode continues a trend that started on Voyager of doing these little miniature period pieces.
Yeah.
You know, we've got, I mean, there's so, I mean, it would be interesting to count them. How many different types of period pieces do they do in Voyager? It's quite a few.
Mm-hmm.
More than the other Star Trek series.
They love to get Kate into the frocks, don't they?
They do.
Do something different with her hair.
She looks great in them. I think that's why.
Because we've got Janeway Air. We've got Fairhaven. We've got the... Da Vinci. We've got this.
Yep.
Are there others? There are a few others, right?
Yeah, I think there's some other bits and bobs that we see in various points.
Chaotica.
I'm sorry, are we in a period piece now? You just use bits and bobs.
Yeah, Bride of Chaotica.
Bits and bobs, why is that period?
I don't know.
It's just not American.
Sounds like something that wouldn't be, you know, sounds like something from a period piece.
It's something that we say all the time in the UK.
Bits and bobs?
Yeah. I'm skipping back now, but actually now you've mentioned it, I have to say how amused I was that she unleashes the macroviruses on Neelix's resort program.
Well deserved.
But yeah, no, I do like it. I like how they use that metaphor, and I like the continuity thread we get with the Q storyline through Voyager, and I like we get to see the continuum again and this idea that they have to represent it in a way that we can understand. Yeah.
And I think in general, this is something Star Trek is so good at, taking really abstract ideas, whether they're philosophical ideas or moral ideas or religious ideas, whatever it is, and finding some way to show them visually in a science fiction context. And Voyager's just so good at it. Mm. I love it.
Yeah. So I find it difficult to find anything at all not to like about this episode.
I 100% concur. Maybe I should change my list. Maybe I should take Fairtrade out and put this episode in.
Yes.
We're not bringing very many episodes, though, are we? We've only got like five or six.
If we want to maximize the diversity of episodes to watch on our desert island in our respective huts, so we should.
Awesome. We can't. That is the thing, you know, that I did find. Having thought it was going to be really difficult, I actually did go, well, yeah, there are lots of great episodes in season three, but actually, those three just really, they pipped the post for me in terms of beating everything else. They're the ones that I would want to take with me and watch over and over.
So you guys want to hear the last of my honorable mentions?
Yeah, I think I need to think about whether I've got any honorable mentions as well.
My last honorable mention is Before and After.
Yeah.
It's just so fun to see Voyager in different time periods.
I like that episode.
A potential different alternate future, what could have been on Voyager that we never got to see except in this episode. Great episode.
I do like that episode. We do have to mention Real Life.
Do we? Do we really?
Yes. Because that's an amazing episode, which we, again, talked about on a previous episode of To the Journey.
You know, you're so right. That's actually a really hard episode to skip and not bring with me. Man, you're making me rethink my entire list, Kay. Stop that.
Yeah.
See what you're doing?
Yeah, so we talked about Real Life and we compared it with The Offspring from TNG, and that was To the Journey 213. You want to go back and listen to that one? Yeah, it's hard not to at least mention Real Life, and it like you say, it is tough to leave that one, but I think the others do edge it for me.
Likewise. I can only listen to so much Klingon rock and roll.
Yeah. Oh, I'm gonna give Sacred Ground a quick mention.
I thought you would.
I do like that episode, and there's an episode of Metatrex on Sacred Ground, which was an episode that I suggested.
That's one episode, genuinely, I never really gave it much attention, and it wasn't until you said, you guys have to talk about that on Metatrek, that I started to give it serious attention. I really gave it a good serious watch, and I loved it at the end of the day.
Yeah, there's an awful lot to think about with that episode, and I still find myself tying myself in knots trying to work out what to make of it, and I loved your guys' discussion, so that's one that I feel has to have a mention. And the only other one that I'm going to mention is an episode that I feel like doesn't really get talked about a lot and that isn't one that's on a lot of people's favourite list, which is Remember.
Yeah.
I like Remember. It's for anyone who doesn't remember, it's the one where B'Elanna ends up living this other woman's life of an alien species that they meet. She ends up having these vivid dreams of this other woman's life, of what's happened to her. I really like that episode.
Isn't that also where the guy touches Janeway and she can play an instrument?
Yep. That's a bit weird, but
that is weird to me.
There are some very cool outfits in this episode as well, though.
I actually toyed around a little bit with putting the shoot, and maybe not on my main list, but maybe on my honorable mentions list.
The shoot is interesting.
Yeah, it's a really interesting episode. It's underrated. I don't know if I could watch it again and again. That's why I didn't make the list. But I really genuinely enjoy that. And a lot of people don't enjoy it. And I really enjoy that episode.
I definitely agree that it's underrated.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely agree. I mean, it's not one of my favorites, just purely because of the fact that it's not easy to watch in places. It's actually quite a tough watch in places, I find, because of the nature of it. So it's not one of my sort of favorite kick back and relax episodes because of that, but I do think it is a better episode than it gets credit for a lot of the time. Yeah,
it's like mid-tier for me. It's not, it's way better than some of the worst in the season, but it's not in the top, even top six. So
I had one on my honorable mention, and it's Flashback, because I get Captain Sulu.
Yeah, there are some nice bits in Flashback.
And that's really the only thing, because I always wanted to see Captain Sulu. And it gave me that little nugget right there. And George Takei, I can never get enough of.
as Kay would say, there's some great bits and bobs in that episode.
Yeah, and there's some other pieces in the episode I don't like, but I just love Captain Sulu.
Yeah. I do enjoy bits of flashback, yeah. I think I'm gonna hate myself for saying this, but I think flashback suffers from the fact that it's not as good as Trials and Tribulations. Which was that they were the two tribute episodes that were done for the 30th anniversary. And I think it suffers for the fact that it always gets compared with that because it's not as good. It just isn't. Because Trials and Tribulations is amazing.
Yeah.
The parts that work for it are the nostalgic parts, like the peek back at the Excelsior, right?
Yeah.
Star Trek fans are nostalgic. We have, you know, 50 plus years now of Star Trek history to draw upon, and we get really nostalgic. And we love those little peeks back into the past, but the episode itself is pretty weak. But the parts that recreating the past were really interesting and really well done.
And Captain Janeway stealing Commander Rand's uniform.
Yes. And she looks amazing in it. Come on. Yes, she looks amazing in that uniform.
It's like Yeoman Janeway.
Yeah, I'm glad that got a little mention.
Okay, so I think we wrapped up our season 3 picks for our desert island.
I'll recap mine because I don't remember yours. Mine are Future's End, Worst Case Scenario, and Fair Trade, with three honorable mentions: Before and After, The Q and the Gray, and Distant Origin, which almost made the cut.
Okay, wrap yours up.
Okay, so my picks were Coda, Macrocosm, and Q and the Gray. And my honorable mentions were Real Life, Sacred Ground, and Remember.
Okay, I like your picks better. You want to trade Leela Root Lunches?
You like my picks better than your picks. That's not how it's supposed to work, Zach.
No.
I think you did something wrong there.
Maybe I didn't understand the rules.
Maybe not.
And my picks were Futures End, Worst Case Scenario, and The Q and the Gray, with a special honorable mention to Flashback, which I am going over to Kay's to watch Coda and Macrocosm as much as possible.
Yeah, right. That's the next stop. We're coming over, Kay.
Hey, everybody likes my picks. I win this time.
Well, it's been fun talking about what we're going to take to our desert island for season 3. But this isn't the only thing we've been discussing on the network. So here's a quick look at some of the other things you may have missed elsewhere on Trek FM.
Previously on Trek.fm, Stage 9, a podcast about the people who make Star Trek.
By getting people like Braga to come on board and work on this show, what they're going to be doing is deconstructing that thing that they did for all those years on Star Trek.
Earl Grey.
Is there anything else we need to add, or do we think that's the...
Are we going to cure Riker, or...
Oh, shoot, I forgot about Riker. Yeah, sure, fine, we'll keep him around.
Yeah, we've cured Riker. And then for me, this would, or not.
Meta Trex.
Troy's quarters, Data's quarters.
They're very Spartan.
They're very Spartan.
In fact, Data's girlfriend even says they're Spartan.
Yes, yes. And so what does she do? She brings him stuff.
A trinket to fill it up.
To fill it up.
Warp 5.
And this reminds me so much of the cage. So much of the cage.
See, I think of... you think of the cage too, but I also think of... what's his name? Baylock in the Corbomite maneuver,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes. Offering him the drink.
Tranya.
And that's what else is happening on Trek.fm.
Check out all these shows and join the conversation about your favorite corner of the Star Trek universe and beyond. You'll find us wherever you get your podcasts. If you're an Apple user, be sure to hit the subscribe button on Apple Podcasts on your iPhone, iPad, or Apple TV, or the desktop iTunes app to get the latest episodes as soon as they are published. And please leave us a star rating and written review. If you're not an Apple user, we've got you covered as well. You can find our shows on Google Play Music, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spreaker, SoundCloud, Windows Phone, in most third-party apps, and you can stream and download the MP3 file from our website or grab the RSS link.
Well, as always, we'd love to hear your thoughts on today's show. We'd especially like to hear your picks for your season 3 desert island. And there are lots of different ways you can send them to us. The best place to join in the larger conversation is in the Babel Conference, which is our listeners group on Facebook. Just type Babel, that's B-A-B-E-L, into the search field, and it should come right up. If you'd like to send us an email, you can use the form on our website at trek.fm/contact. Choose Message to a Trek FM Show. Pick To the Journey, that will come right to us. You can also find the network on Twitter, at Trek FM, and on Facebook, at facebook.com/trekfm. So, Zach, when you're not stripping off and running round the ship with your phaser rifle, where can our listeners find you?
I don't do anything else. What are you talking about?
You can't contact him. He's too busy running around half-dressed.
Yep, I'm incommunicado. Well, you can find me elsewhere on Trek.fm as co-host of MetaTrek's Trek FM show on Star Trek and philosophy. You can always find me in the Babel Conference if you'd like to talk about Voyager with me there. And you can find me on Twitter. My handle is just my name, at Zachary Fruhling. That's Zachary, Z-A-C-H-A-R-Y, Fruhling, F-R-U-H-L-I-N-G. So, Suzanne, when you're not brandishing a musket fighting the War of Northern Aggression, where can our listeners find you on the interwebs and around the Trek FM network?
Well, you can find me popping up in the Babel Conference, and you can also find me on Twitter. My handle is KJaneWay8. Kay, when you're not having microviruses chase you around Neelix's resort program, where can our listeners find you?
Well, you can always find me in the Babel Conference. And if you want to look me up on Twitter, my handle is ChocoWeeble.
Well, if you'd like to help us keep all of our shows coming to you each week, we invite you to become a patron of the network through Patreon. Just visit patreon.com/trekfm, that's patreon.com/trekfm, to get all the details. Perks include early access to episodes, exclusive content, producer credits, and many more, all available through our special patrons website, Patron Zone. It requires a great deal of time and money to produce, host, and distribute these podcasts each month. We really appreciate any support you can give us, and we hope you'll join the team. Again, you'll find all the details at patreon.com/trekfm.
So we have some people that we'd like to thank. C. Brian Jones, founder and publisher of Trek FM, and the real inventor of the mobile emitter. Our executive producers, Matthew Rushing and Kenneth Tripp. Aaron Harvey, our art director. Richard Marquez, our production manager, and Brandon Shea Metalla, our Patreon manager. And of course, we want to give a really big shout out to our associate producers, Bruce Lish, Ju Kim, Richard Marquez, Patrick Carlin, and Norman Lau. Thank you so much for your support of Trek FM and of To the Journey.
So join us next week, where the night will be young and the sheets will be satin. But until then, this has been To the Journey.